This morning we hear from the prophet Amos again, and he was sent to preach to the northern kingdom of Israel. And at that time it was a very prosperous kingdom. They had a period of peace. And as we hear from the prophet Amos, the people are living it up. You know, they're having all these banquets. It describes how they're stretched out on their ivory beds and their couches, and they have all the food and all the drinks that they want, and they're composing music, and they're just living it up. And the ironic thing is at the same time, the Lord is offended by their actions, and he's preparing to destroy them. You know, he's eventually going to raise up the Assyrians to come in and to destroy the entire northern kingdom. The Lord says to the prophet Amos, where there was a city of 1,000, only 100 will be left. And where there was 100, only 10 will be left. So you have this irony about this people who the richer and more comfortable they get, the more they're extorting the poor, the more they're concerned about their own comfort, and they're just living it up while the Lord is preparing for their destruction. I think that's a powerful thing for us to meditate upon, because the spiritual danger that's in here is one that especially applies when we have wealth and comfort. And that's the danger of being complacent. The danger of getting too comfortable and too relaxed to the point where we start ignoring God and his commandments and our responsibility as human beings to worship and to adore him. And I think that's pretty fitting for our culture today, because we do have so much comfort. You know, the vast majority of people in this country, you know, we have a very comfortable lifestyle. And it's easy for us to become complacent and start focusing on all these distractions that are around us and all the entertainment that we have, whether it's in a college football or Netflix or YouTube or Facebook, or, you know, our children are focused so much on sports and extracurricular activities. We have all the food and the drinks that we want. And at the same time, a lot of people are turning away from God and think that their obligations towards God don't matter all that much. It's like, maybe I'll make it to Sunday Mass, or maybe I just won't have time. If I don't have time, I just won't go. And so people oftentimes get this attitude of complacency, and it can come for different reasons. Some people might be complacent because they've never actually encountered Jesus Christ and never really seriously engaged the faith. Other people may have, but over time, just fall into the routine of going to Mass, and it just becomes an empty shell rather than a true and vibrant faith. But I think it's important for us not to become complacent and to make sure that we are focused on serving the Lord well and striving ahead in the spiritual life. Our gospel reading takes it a step further. And we kind of see these two attitudes, you know, in the rich man. He becomes, he's complacent. He's indifferent regarding the faith. He's just concerned about, you know, his own luxuries and enjoying the things of this world. But the gospel talks about how those decisions at the moment of death become eternal. You know, whatever state our soul is in, if we're in a state where we're generous and serving and loving the Lord well, or if we're in a condition where we're selfish and just focused on worldly things, that becomes eternal at the moment of death. And it's a powerful gospel that our Lord gives. He describes this great chasm between the two, and nobody can pass from one side to the other. And the rich man, he begs for simply one drop of water for his tongue. And the Lord says no. And it's interesting, when we look at the rich man, he was condemned to hell, not for what he did, but for what he failed to do. It was something that he didn't do, that he was complacent and he wasn't following the Lord's teachings on mercy. That's why he was condemned to hell. And so I think when we look at this, it's important for us to realize that the stakes are high. The stakes are so high that we can't afford to become complacent in the spiritual life and start taking our obligations towards God lightly. You know, St. Paul, in the second reading, gives us the proper attitude that we should have when he says, compete well for the faith, the noble confession of faith. Now, I was thinking about that word compete. You know, since it is football season, I was thinking, imagine if we competed the way they do on the football field. Imagine if we competed that way in terms of our lives of faith. And I was looking it up last night. You know those wristbands that the offense wears and that have the different plays on them? Those typically for the NFL have 100 different plays on them. And for each play, the quarterback can audible, and there could be 5 or 6 different variations. So a typical offense will know 500 different plays that they'll have practiced and trained with and can implement well. Now, I was thinking, think about all the energy and the effort, the study, the preparation, the training that they do. So they have over 500 different plays just to move the football down the field so that they can score. Imagine if we had that same intensity when it came to our faith. Imagine if we left church today and said, by the time I come back to church next Sunday, I am going to love Jesus Christ more. I'm going to meditate upon his life through praying the rosary every day for the next 7 days so that when I come to Mass next week, I will love the Lord more. Or if we said, I'm going to dedicate myself and make sure I accomplish at least 7 corporal works of mercy this week that I will offer up to the glory and honor of God. Or if we said, I'm going to make sure that I at least make 1 daily Mass this week and spend a few minutes in adoration after Mass praying in front of the Eucharist. You know, imagine if we put that same intensity that people do on the football field into our lives of faith. If we did that, we wouldn't become complacent. We would be striving ahead and advancing in the spiritual life. And it's important for us to realize that our purpose in this world is not our own comfort. It's not entertainment. We're put in this world for a reason. We're here temporarily, and it's a time of testing to determine whether we are going to love and serve God or whether we're going to love and serve ourselves or some other cause. That's why we're here. And so it's important for us not to get caught up in all these distractions and to realize why we're here. Because learning to serve the Lord takes time. It's not instant. We can't just say, oh, I'm going to serve the Lord and that's it. You know, we have attachments to sin that can take years to break. You know, if someone's addicted to alcohol or sins of lust or anger or whatever it is, it takes a long time to break those habits of sin and to learn to serve the Lord well, to learn to love coming to Mass, to learn to love prayer, to study the faith deeply so that we know it and understand it and can determine whether someone's presenting us a false teaching or the authentic gospel. It takes a lot of training and a lot of work. But that's why we're here in this world. So we can't lose sight of that and get caught up in all the distractions that are around us. So I think it's important for us to realize how high the stakes are and that there's no time for complacency. So if we have a lot of distractions in our lives, a lot of things that are sucking our energy and our effort away from where it should truly be, to get rid of those. Know what our mission is. There's nothing in this world that's worth losing our salvation over. So know what our mission is well and to compete well. And the goal is that at the end of our lives, if we compete well for the faith, when we step from time into eternity and we see Jesus Christ face to face for the first time, we can do so looking back and knowing that we have served Jesus Christ nobly. And we have professed him in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions. With our lives, we will profess Jesus Christ. And that's the reward that we seek. And there is no greater reward than that. So my brothers and sisters, compete well for the faith.